The Bible is a story about a generous God. Generous beyond our imagination. A God who loves to overdo it when it comes to giving undeserved gifts and grace. A God who is either loved or hated for being extravagant. God overdoes it almost every week in our lectionary readings. Remember Jonah 2 weeks ago? Jonah was so angry he wanted to die because God handed out undeserved grace to his enemies. Remember the Hebrew slaves in Egypt? It wasn't enough for God to simply release them from captivity. No, God arranged for their oppressors to hand over all their gold and jewelry and beg them to leave. Remember the widow of Zarephath? She and her son were ready to lay down and die of starvation. And then her oil jar and flour bucket refused to go empty. And she kept feeding herself and her son and the prophet of God all the way through the famine. It's not enough that God does good. God wastes goodness and blessing on us, lets it spill out everywhere on everyone like an overfilled milk bucket just sloshing around without regard to its precious contents. God is just, but God is not judicious, not very sensible and prudent and discreet about things. God overdoes it. There's a disconnect between this picture of God and the austere Mennonite tradition that formed me and maybe some of you, where we almost physically turn away from talk about God's abundance and generosity. We are a frugal and sensible people, so obviously God is too. If we blather on too much about the abundance of God, it might encourage us to live like some of our worldly Christian neighbors who live lavish lives and are flashy and indulgent and are not at all sensible like us. Well, I actually appreciate some of this about my tradition because I do think that we find deeper joy and closer communion with God in lives that are simple and uncluttered by possessions that tend to possess and entangle us. But woe to us if that frugality blinds us from being flat out overwhelmed by our extravagant God who overdoes it all the time in grace and beauty and abundance. God is prodigal, a word that means extravagantly wasteful, like the father in that poorly named parable of the prodigal son. Yes, the son was wasteful with things he shouldn't have been wasteful of, but the father, the God figure in that story, was extravagantly wasteful, prodigal in love and mercy and forgiveness, and caught flack for it, of course, from the other brother. Over and over, our prodigal God stretches out in love far beyond what God's bargain with humans requires. Lesser gods would walk away from the deal altogether. Yet after repeated and catastrophic failures on our part, God just reaches farther for us. God keeps restarting the missional project of partnering with us humans for the sake of the world. In today's text from Prophet Jeremiah, God does it again. In an ultimate act of generosity, offering to make a whole new covenant, unlike any that had gone before. This covenant would be written not in legal code, but on the hearts and minds of the people. There would be a deeper divine-human communion that surpassed anything known thus far and could not be undone. There would be a deep knowing, we are told, from the least of them to the greatest, and an everlasting bond forged by complete and unconditional forgiveness. I will remember their sins no more. What God, after repeatedly being spurned, what God refuses to walk away but turns toward those who did the spurning, offering an even greater gift? What God does that? This generous covenant on the heart came to fulfillment in Jesus, who embodied God's extravagant grace and generosity. In Jesus, God overdid it again, coming to dwell fully among us and participate fully in the human experience, including suffering and death. In Jesus' own words, quote, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." Furthermore, God's radical generosity and abundance is built into creation itself, into the seasonal cycles of rest, planting, and harvest. We remember on this Thanksgiving Sunday that the earth, this planet loved by God, is an expression of God's abundance. Against all odds, against our continued mistreatment of it, the earth is still extravagant, still fruitful and abundant and beautiful and resilient. The planet mirrors this attribute of God, of not giving up, of not being put off its extravagant mission. Our Jeremiah text is a great example, and I already reviewed the poetic section where God promised a new and everlasting covenant written on the heart. And that's especially remarkable given the narrative part of it. And thanks to Valerie, Gabe, and Terry for reading it so well to us. Remember the book-burning scene in that story where King Jehoiakim, God's own anointed, ripped up the words of the Lord and threw them in the fire? This was not a symbolic protest, but destruction of costly property. Long before the days of books and printing, every manuscript was painstakingly written on expensive, handmade parchment by highly trained and patient and skilled scribes. Any scroll was an object of inestimable value. Immense human time and love and skill were poured into this artful labor. But the words of Yahweh were so disrespected by the people that the king didn't just throw the whole scroll in the fire, he stretched out the pane to make it last longer. Every time the reader, Jehudi, finished reading another few columns of text, the king took a knife, a scribe's knife, it said, the tool of trade of the one who wrote it, and cut off the strip of what was read and threw it into the fire. Every three or four columns, another cut to the heart. So what did God do about such blatant disrespect? Did God take offense and walk away? Did God tell Jeremiah, "I give up, I'm going to start all over with a new people"? No, God told Jeremiah, "Take another scroll. Take another valuable scroll. Write it all down again. Verbatim, every single word that the king just burned, write it down again." That's why God's promise in chapter 31 is all the more powerful. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." This, dear sisters and brothers, is the same God who sent Jesus to come and live with us to help carry our burden. It's this extravagantly generous God who overlooks our grievous offenses and says, "Here, let's try it again. This time, I give you myself." The ball is now in our court, so to speak, as to how we respond. Even today, the gift is ours to respond to. God is no less extravagant today. Who are we to hold back in austerity or self-preservation or fear or judgment or unwillingness to risk? Who are we not to just let go of ourselves in extravagant love and grace toward others, including our political opposites, including our cultural or religious other? We worship the God who came to us in Jesus, who sat at a table with his disciples as he was walking into a deep and dark night of suffering and said, "Here, let me give some more of myself." Over a cup of wine, he told them, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What God? What God does such a thing? And yet we repeatedly fail to recognize the God of extravagance and abundance, and instead get lost in diligence and duty and fear and scarcity of grace. Let us speak aloud now our confession. You will find the confession in your order of worship. And please respond each time with the words in bold print. Every day, we miss noticing God's extravagant gifts. Every day, we walk by the color purple or green or yellow or blue, and we don't notice it. Forgive us. And open our eyes. Every day we fail to hear the sound of laughter or footsteps or birdsong or weeping. Forgive us and open our ears. Every day God's extravagant gifts surround us and fill us and connect us with everyone and everything, and we don't take in that beautiful truth. Forgive us and open our hearts. Come and hear what God has done, even when we don't notice. God's extravagant gifts continue to surround us and fill us and connect us with everyone and everything, showering our lives with grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, when we celebrate first fruits generosity and God's abundance, we come to the table of plenty. This posture of God's abundance is nowhere more evident than at the Lord's table in our ritual of communion. Simple elements, but representing a lavish gift. This communion was established by Jesus when he and his disciples ate their last Passover meal together. As it says in Luke 22, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. May God bless this bread and cup to our physical and spiritual nourishment, and let us celebrate God's abundance together, even as we are scattered far and wide. Eat the bread and drink the cup at home while you meditate and listen to a song, Prayer of Praise, the last hymn composed by John Horst, paired with a text by Myron Augsburger and sung by Nathan May. Let us partake.